Marlins are truly playing spoiler, taking game one of the three-game series against the Bravos. The Bravos needing one win to clinch the division. Can the Marlins drop the sweep on the Braves? Wouldn't that be sweet? Not sure if the Mets will capitalize, nevertheless. We're going to dig into Jesus Luzardo's stunning, stunning end to his 2022 campaign. Plus, there's some bigger themes today. Don Mattingly, Kim Ang, the current roster. And here to dissect all of those topics, loud Marlins fan is in the house on today's Locked On Marlins.
You are Locked On Marlins, your daily podcast on the Miami Marlins. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings from England and welcome to Locked On Marlins. This is your daily Marlins podcast with me, Peter Pratt. Do not forget to follow me on Twitter, of course, at Miami Marlins _UK. If you are watching, hello, there is a YouTube channel. Hit subscribe there. We're over 200 subscribers now, absolutely trending. If you are listening, hit subscribe wherever you get your pods. It's free. 5 episodes a week, even through the depths of winter. I have you covered. And I have a guest here to help me cover everything today. Chase, loud Marlins fan. How we doing, brother?
Doing all right, Pete. We're finally on. Let's do it.
Let's go. It's fair to say we've had one or two technical issues in the lead up to this. Nevertheless, Chase is here. I'm here. Locked On Marlins is here for you. Tuesday episode, mate. Before we get into some of the meat and potatoes topics that we really want to get into, the big themes, it'd be wrong of us not to talk about the fact the Marlins are really playing spoiler right now. They effectively ended the Brewers season. Now the Braves roll into town, and they've taken game one. Jesus Luzardo with an absolute stunner of a start to finish his year. 6 innings, 12 Ks from Jesus Luzardo. What a way to finish his season. For me, the Marlins there have really corrected Jesus, and what a find he has been for the fish, right?
It's been amazing. What a trade. What an asset. What a future asset, minus the injuries this year. Yep. Started off the season with 12 Ks, ended the season with 12 Ks.
Symmetry.
And in between, we drank the beer of the Brewers, and now we're stopping the chop. Let's go!
Let's go! Just imagine if they do actually sweep the Braves when the Braves only need one game. However, the Mets would still need to win one. Not lose one, I believe. So that if the Mets lose, then the Braves are NL East kings. What degree of confidence do you have that the Mets can not lose a game against the Washington Nationals?
The Mets are choke artists, Pete. They're choke artists. What they're doing is choking, and they already did. So all we need now is that one loss or the one win or a tie. It goes to the Braves. Let's go Braves over the Mets.
It does. Your preference is the Braves over the Mets then, right?
Yep. Okay. You know, Braves are the world champions. They're a class organization. New York's not.
Love it. What did you make of the Marlins and Phillies hookup over the weekend too? Social media teams are in bed with each other there, I'd say.
It's funny, but it's an embarrassment at the same time.
Yeah.
We're their rivals. You never team up with the rivals, although it was fun to see them. The Phillies are the one who changed their whole thing to Marlins fans. So Marlins stan account. They love us.
They took the first step for sure, but the Marlins socials as well kind of flexed into it and enjoyed the attention. I think that's what it is. When you've tailspun and your season's cooked and the engagement is low, let's have a bit of Phillies love and get the engagement up there. You know, any publicity is good publicity, I believe, is how the saying goes. And for the Marlins, in that case, maybe it was good publicity. And actually, they're playing good ball. We have to call it out that they're winning games, and they're winning games because they're pitching well. It's how they were designed. The offense is kind of still the offense. But I would say, and before we kind of segue into Donnie, into Kim, and the roster in general, Brian De La Cruz, mate, since he's been back from AAA, De La Cruz is absolutely on fire, one of the hottest hitters in the game right now. Just how remarkable has this been for De La Cruz? And this, it's September again, but it's just been a stunning, stunning, 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
Can I just state that DLC is on cruise control? Perfect. Cruise control. And you know why? Because they announced that Donnie's no longer going to be the Marlins manager, and he started to hit. Correlation? Maybe.
There may be some correlation there. But DLC, what a stunning end of the year. I'm intrigued to see how aggressive or how the Marlins approach this now, because there has been stints where De La Cruz has been an above-average major league hitter. The glove is fine. There's a clear need at center field. But could De La Cruz fill that gap? Nevertheless, let's get into it, Chase. Don Mattingly, the Marlins, they put it out there. A acrimonious end, let's say. They both decided to go their own separate ways. Your overall reaction to the fact that Donnie will not be the Marlins manager in 23?
If you're watching this on YouTube, and if you're not, you should, because we're giving a standing ovation to the departure of Don Mattingly. You know, all season long, actually since last May or June, after we lost 13 in a row last year, all I've been saying is fire Don Mattingly. Mm-hmm. Why? Let me give you some numbers, Pete. 79 wins, 77 wins, 63 wins, 57 wins, 31 wins, playoff season, and then 67 wins so far this season, maybe could break over that number from last year as the same. So 67, 68, 69 wins, that's what we're going to finish with. Is that sound like a manager who should keep his job? Let me ask you that.
I don't think so. I think the time has come. And you can point to the talent and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. However, it's just not good enough. It isn't good enough. The record has not been good enough. Right now, with this part of the rebuild where the Marlins felt like they were in the mix, for them not to surpass last season, for me, irrespective of whether he was year two, year seven, year 10, it's time to make a change, in my opinion. The results haven't been there.
You can say, as people are trying to blame the management, which we'll get into, the ownership, not spending money, et cetera, Donnie's been given all the respect he deserves from his past playing days and whatnot. We saw what happened when the Dodgers lost him. They won the World Series. Mm. Maybe that trend can continue.
Oh, boy. I mean, that would be stunning if that goes on and the Marlins make a run to the World Series in 23. You know, just a 500 or above regular season would be almost enough for us as Marlins fans. But, I mean, that would be a stark turnaround. When you look back at Donnie, do you have a favorite moment? Is there anything like that stands out, a favorite moment, good or bad? And, you know, I'll let you take that as you want it.
Don, I will give him the respect he deserves. Mm. Okay, and I'll say that he's done a great job. He's the Marlins' winningest coach ever. Mm-hmm. He's been here the longest tenured Marlins manager ever, and there are some standout moments. I think that the handling of Jose Fernandez's death for the couple weeks that were left in that season should not be gone unspoken of. Yeah. I think that the playoff, quote unquote, playoff year of the 31 win season, with all the adversity the team went through with COVID throughout that season, I think he did a hell of a job and he got rewarded for it. So that has to be the standout season. I think the rest is filled with mediocrity.
I think it's funny because me and Sean Barrett spoke about this topic last week, I think it was, week before, and those were the two kind of key elements we pulled out too. The way he handled the Jose Fernandez situation and clearly that COVID situation, that COVID year, when they were all down with COVID and he ended up winning manager of the year. Clear highlights and standouts for Don Mattingly. The time was right. He called it out, mate. He said there's a new voice needed in the clubhouse with this organization. And the time is right. Donnie and the Marlins, acrimonious end. It's happy. There's nothing but respect for Donnie from the players, the media, the fans in general. But the time is right. Where are they going to go from a manager perspective? And, you know, who's your leading candidate or two at this point?
You know who I wanted? I wanted Joe Maddon. It's not going to happen. The team, honestly, didn't want to spend money on Don Mattingly. They lowballed him. I'm not going to say how much, but let a reporter report that. But they lowballed him. They're not going to spend that much on a manager because, quite frankly, it's what does the manager do on the Marlins? If everything that one of your guests has said, one that apparently I'm not friends on Twitter with anymore. He basically said that Don Mattingly does not make the lineup. Don Mattingly does not control who closes or the bullpen. So what exactly was he doing here? So whoever they bring in, I guess the expectation is they're just going to fill a seat. Although I do think that managers are worth more than three wins or three losses. I think they do matter. And again, going back to giving Don Mattingly some credit, I spoke with a player last year, and I made my frustrations clear about Don Mattingly. And he said, you know, Don Mattingly is the first manager I've ever been on that didn't scold me after a loss.
Yeah.
He brought me in and said, we're going to fix this. So he's a player's favorite, which is why he should have been fired earlier this season to set a tone in the organization that the playing was not allowed. And you mentioned the Phillies making the playoffs. Mm. They fired their manager when the same sort of situation was going on. Agreed. Yes, the payroll's a lot more, but our pitching's better than theirs. And give or take Kyle Schwarber, that they're not the best at hitting. Well, Bryce Harper was gone for more than half the season too. So,
yep.
You know, it was the manager's firing that made the difference there. It could have done it here if we departed from his services in June or early July.
You make a great point. I was thinking the same. The fact that the Phils and one of my good friends, a UK Phillies fan, Dave Shaw, he pointed to it earlier on. The Phillies record, when they made that move, it was really early in the year. They were like 50 games in. They made the move. Rob Thompson, never heard of him. Don't know anything about him. Next thing is, the Phillies go on a streak. They get rolling. So, and like you said, Bryce Harper gone for a big chunk of the year. So you got your main stud out. That's the other thing, you know, that we point to here. Oh, the injuries have hurt us. Injuries hurt everyone. Wheeler's down at the moment. Bryce has been down. The Phillies, yeah, okay. They've kind of huffed and puffed their way to get it, you know, secure in this spot. But they turned it around. A change of voice, a philosophy, change of approach, whatever it was, they got some momentum rolling there. And they've reaped the rewards. I'm with you on that. That is a good point. However, the Angels pulled the trigger too, and that didn't help them. So I guess it could have gone one of either way there on that one. Let's do the first ad, and then I want to segue us into Kim and where your head's at with Kim in general and what we are hoping or expecting in this offseason, because this is a huge offseason for Kim Ang. It's an absolutely ginormous one. There's so much that needs to be achieved. So before we do that, reminder, this episode is brought to you by our good friends over at Bet Online. And we have graphics for BetOnline now. Look at these graphics. Absolutely sensational. BetOnline is your number. Well, BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game out there. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information. They have live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport on there. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events. It includes Major League Baseball, of course, MMA, boxing, and golf. You can head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Stunning graphics. Chase, Kim Ang, where is your head at with Kim? A couple of years in now, two seasons in. It's a down year. We can't get away from that. Feels like Derek Jeter's fingerprints were still over this roster. And so I'm very intrigued to see the approach this offseason, but just generally, how are you feeling about Kim now as GM?
When Jeter departed the team, there were a few moves that we can say were Kim's, if she was even fully in charge at that point after his departure. We signed Jorge Soler. You know, he had an injured season. We don't know if he ever could have got on streak because of that. Obviously, we're going to say, dumpster fire, but he has an option. Let's see if he takes it. You see the moves of Scott and Sulcer. Those were trades. I don't remember who they traded away. I think Scott was one of them, our draft picks in the last couple of years. But they did okay. Solser was injured. Scott wasn't a closer. We don't know why he was put in to close so much. Mm. We can say that was a winning trade, a loss. We don't know. But she then fired Denbo, making it more of her team. And now last week she fired two more executives who are in charge of scouting and player development. So now it is her team. So if you're going to, if there's a lot of Twitter talk about him being a failure, we can't judge that on half a season at bat, a season that was filled with controversy and a lockout. We can't judge her on what she's done. And if you're going to, she was part of the DLC trade. We got DLC. She made an awesome move to get rid of my favorite player, Anthony Bass, who's now in the playoffs. She got back Jordan Groshans. So she's, if those are really her moves, she's done a good job so far. This is a very important offseason. We said that last year. And what did they do? They brought in Stallings. He's had a great year at catcher. He started slow, but his numbers have peaked. Nick Fortes, great backup catcher, possible starter in the future. And the other moves that I discussed, that was her. So I believe this offseason, next offseason are hers to show. She gets two more, and then she's done. We gave Jeter 4.5. We could give her 3, 2 full.
I don't disagree. I think there's so much to do this offseason, though. This is the thing, right? She got to firstly interview everyone under the sun and then make a decision on the manager. So they're going to start with the manager, then got to work out, okay, what's the staff going to be that supports the manager? Are they going to be able to do a deal with Mel Stottlemyre? Which I think is, you know, P1. You absolutely need Mel. Your man, Craig Mish, I was on the pod last week and expects that Mel Stottlemyre will still be with the Marlins, is his guess at this point. We need to dig into why there's been some Twitter tension there and why he's blocked, but we'll come to that later on. There's so much to do around that. The manager, the staff, like you said, and the front office is barren. They've got rid of, what, 3, 4, 5 dudes? Or, you know, they haven't been replaced yet. So, you know, there's so much organizationally, just the skeleton of this organization that needs to be filled before they even get to the roster. So there's so much going on. Bruce Sherman, is he going to sell this team?
Not this season.
Not yet.
We'll see what they actually do, right? If they don't spend any money, we know he's going to sell because you keep that cost low, right? If they do make some moves this offseason, they make some trades, actually get rid of some of that amazing starting pitching that we have and say, look, we're all in. Kind of like what Loria did. You know, a lot of people will blame him for not spending money. Mm-hmm. His last couple seasons here, he tried. He made bad moves, bad trades, tried to get the starting pitching. It just didn't work out, right? You signed Chen to an absurd amount. He didn't pan out for more than, what, 10 wins as a Marlin? He tried spending the money to go with the batting, right? You had Stanton, you had Yelly growing, Ozuna growing, getting in their prime. I'm forgetting JT Realmuto. He tried spending money on top of that because they were all still cost effective, right? He tried to get the pitching. If Sherman does the opposite, we have the pitching and he tries to get some hitting with our starting rotation, then we know he's not trying to sell. If they don't spend money, he's trying to sell.
If they were going to spend money and he said, listen, and those names you mentioned there, for me, what I'm worried about is the Marlins' ability to spend money. The background, the history tells us if the Marlins give a multi-year, you know, 30 million plus deal to anyone, it's probably not going to work. That's what history tells. Like, when have they been successful with any free agents? They just haven't been. But take that point aside. If they were going to spend money on one position, what position would you be targeting? If Bruce said, listen, you've got one marquee dude, what spot are you going after?
Trey Turner, leader of your team in the infield. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned DLC. Ken, if he stays with the fire that he's playing with now, that bat lit up. If he can hit like this for the full season, not just a month, you have your center fielder. You bring in Trey Turner at shortstop. Miggy Rowe, getting old, injury prone. Love you, Miggy, for all you do. Wearing number 19 again next season. Great way to give love to your grandfather this year. Going back to 19.
I think, you know, from Miggy's perspective, it's, you know, we're at that stage with him now, and he's at that stage of his career where, even as a util, like, it's one of those where it's not, you're not slighting Miggy. You're just going to say, Miggy, listen, we're going to take you into more of a utility role. You're not going to be starting shortstop every day for the Marlins. However, as we've seen and we continue to see year after year, someone always gets hurt, and there's always going to be a need for Miggy Rowe, and he's shown it this year. He'll happily battle through. He's got this wrist surgery happening tomorrow, and that's going to, you know, it's going to be his last game of the season today. I haven't actually seen if he's in the lineup. I assume he is, but
Let's be real. Whoever gets the managerial role right now will be gone within 3 years, probably. And Miggy Rowe is the man waiting to be the manager of the Miami Marlins at some point. I will call that right now, and hold me to this video. In the next 10 years, Miggy Rowe will be the Marlins manager.
Wow. The good news is, with these podcasts and YouTube, it's forever on the record. So we will have this. And that's sometimes a good thing and a bad thing, because I've made some terrible takes as well. I have to say that.
And if and our good friend Craig Mish, as he would say, if it doesn't happen, sorry.
Yeah. Love it. Got to take ownership. But okay, final one for this one. And because we're already 21 minutes in, would you believe? These podcasts just rattle along. So when we think of the current roster, and we're in the final week of the year, last two games to go for the Fish. When we look at the current roster and the guys around, who, if you were going to name a couple of names, that may not be a couple, but who do you think is most likely to play their final games for the Marlins in this Braves series?
It hurts me to say this. It really does. It hurt me to talk about it at the trade deadline, but there's one expendable pitcher who has value. It's Pablo. Mm. Pablo is going to cost money in the next couple years. You know, he had 3 years left, or 2.5 when they were going to trade him. Now he has a full 2.
Yep.
Get value for him. I mean, we're all happy she didn't, right? She kept the value.
Yeah.
A player. But I don't think Pablo will be back, and that's going to hurt. He's such a nice guy. We have an on-field friendly relationship, you know? He takes pictures with me, talks to me, good conversation. I'm going to miss him. That's one. But you mentioned more, right? I don't know if J.J. Bleda deserves a spot on this roster. I think that he goes back down to AAA, if anything, and he can be brought up again next year.
Yep.
Soler, we don't know if he's going to be back, give or take. Him opting in, you think that no one else would pay him $15 million, but that's value in this market for a power hitter, former MVP. We know Bass and Pop won't be here. Sad face. No. Some of the bullpen does need change out. I think Blyer is a trade candidate after, I don't know what you could get back from him, but you could pair him with someone for some value. I like Rex. He's a good guy too. Maybe Sulcer and Scott. We'll see where they end up. They have some value left. And, you know, we all want Garcia to maybe not be here, but he got in shape finally. And he hit a grand slam the other day, his third home run of the year.
it's been a low output from Avi Garcia. What did you make on that, by the way? Because I spoke about it on yesterday's episode, my kind of thoughts and feelings on it, that it's great to see, but at the same time, it feels overdue. I was just intrigued the fact it happened right at the back end of the year where he kind of decided to trim down and get his body back in shape. What about you on this one?
He got injured. When injuries happen, you have time to go think about what's going wrong, and he had to get back in shape, and hopefully it works out in our benefit moving forward, where he comes in like that. They had the Bash Brothers, we'll call them, and the Milwaukee Bash Brothers, Garcia and Aguilar. They were batting 5 and 6. They were supposed to be our power, and it just never happened.
Did see that article. I think that you commented on it, so I think you may have seen it too. The fact that they were named the worst players combined, and ended up being a combined award. So the least most valuable player, if that's the way of phrasing it. And those two combined, it's just been not great for those two. You know, obviously Aguilar's no longer with the organization. I think Avi will be, clearly, because the contract is, you know, there's what, 35, 36 million left on that. So it's relatively sizable. I think the Marlins would be looking to try and get him right. I mean, going into next year, that's the thing. It's not, let's just dump him. It's how do we get Avi Garcia right? That's one of the first things from a manager perspective that you'd be coming in and going, what went wrong? What do we need to do? How do we get you right?
You can't send him down and you can't bench him because of his salary. So he has to be gotten right. And whoever comes in is going to have to put the infrastructure in place that's going to do that. I do want to mention one more player, and that is Miguel Rojas. He was being shopped at the deadline. We can't just ignore that.
Yeah.
Look, again, he may come back as manager someday or be back next year. But we all want a new shortstop. He has a high salary. Maybe he's going to be gone too.
It's possible. It is possible. I'm intrigued to see what they do with Miggy. Again, spoke about in yesterday's episode. If the Marlins truly want a new voice, then Miguel Rojas should be traded this offseason. Because if you have a new manager and the same El Capitan, then it isn't really a new voice. And I think that hinders the new guy. So, okay, Chase, we're out of time. And we're going to wrap it up there. Here's the good news, though, guys. And thanks for everyone for making Locked On Marlins your first listen of the day, or maybe your second. We're relatively late on the publication of this one. That's going to wrap us up for Tuesday's episode. Of course, I'm going to be back on Wednesday. Because, of course, it's a daily pod. Here's the good news, guys. Chase is back on Wednesday, too. It is a doubleheader with Loud Marlins fan. So we'll bid you farewell now on Tuesday. And both myself and Chase are back on Wednesday, digging into a few more of these players and stories that we should look out for in this offseason and some of the free agent or trade opportunities the Marlins should explore. Until then, see you tomorrow, guys.